On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
As Christians, we should probably ask some of the same questions that the early church asked, that the disciples asked while Jesus was living,
that the Jewish nation asked before Messiah came and while he was here on earth. And those questions are questions of confusion. Like, what's going on? Why are we here? If there's a good God, a holy, righteous, and loving God, then, it seems to be that we're on this earth with a great deal of suffering and pain, and it seems like the bad guys win. It seems like the people that are hell-bent on creating suffering are the ones that end up always being the ones in charge. And the people that choose to live like Jesus, embrace God's precepts, loving God and loving neighbor, those are the ones that end up suffering. And in Luke 24, Jesus, he repeats a phrase three times, and we'll look at it. And it's, he says, well, the angel and then Jesus two more times, these things must happen. Must. It's the same Greek word three different times, but it's translated differently depending on the translation. But you might have noticed it. And so we're going to look at, first off, the reality of the resurrection. It's really important. It's the defense of our faith. Paul said, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then we are the most miserable among all people. Okay? We're living a pointless life. We're embracing a way of suffering. We're embracing a life of advocacy for others and not of self and selfishness. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then that's really pointless. You ought to be selfish. And we'll look at what is the point now. If Jesus did rise from the dead, then what now? Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life and testimony of the Lord Jesus and those who followed him, making sure that these things were written down for us to learn from. They taught to one another and loved one another and the world around them, and it changed the world, and it created this a beautiful community, a movement that would impact people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And we thank you for that. Father, we ask that that your Holy Spirit would teach this morning, and I wouldn't be the teacher. We ask that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and illuminate the words of your scripture. We ask that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can go out and love and serve one another and the world around us. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So this is really going to come to us in three separate sections. I'm going to reread the first 12 verses here. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. There's that phrase, it is necessary, or it must happen, that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. That's never happened ever again in the history of mankind. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes. So he went away amazed at what had happened. This is our main argument for our faith right here. And there's the four different gospels, and in each one they tell the story slightly differently. Now, a skeptic would look at this and say, well, that means that it's not true, because in this story there's a couple of angels, in this story there's a couple of men, in this story there's Jesus, and they point out the different ways the story is told. And my answer to that, we looked at this earlier in the book of Luke, is that if every single person in this room is asked what happened this morning here at the gathering place, you're all going to tell the story differently, right? Some of you are going to include details that are important to you, and those details are going to be different, right? So the story is going to be different. But also, it's important to understand that Luke, at the beginning of his gospel, he says, I went back, I interviewed, he says, most excellent Theophilus. There's this character, Theophilus. Not really sure who he is, but it could possibly be that he is a Roman magistrate. And Luke is preparing the book of Luke and Acts to prepare to show the Roman government that Christianity is rooted in the Hebrew scriptures. And so that is a legal religion. And so it's they're allowed to practice. It could possibly be that Luke is presenting it for these reasons. So he has all these interviews. He says, hey, I went back, I interviewed people, I looked at other documents, and I wrote this accurate account of the Gospels. Now, here's what this means. Is that he had access to the book of Mark. We know this, that Luke would have read the book of Mark, which was written down before Luke. Possibly even he read Matthew as well. There's also, we've mentioned this a few different times, something called, that scholars talk about this Q source, which was an earlier document that the early Christians would have possibly read. Maybe it was a journal of one of the disciples, we're not sure. But here, Luke knows what the other gospel writers wrote about the resurrection of Jesus, and he writes this version, okay? So what this tells me is, apparently Luke didn't have a problem with this, right? And not only that, but also 200 years later, when the church is deciding on which books to say these are the books that are scripture, they're going to put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John alongside each other as the books that tell the life of Jesus. And so the early church thought that these books were all in agreement. But also, I want to look at five evidences. Could you put on that first slide, Clara? Five evidences for the resurrection that Scripture uses. Is it right after the text? There we go. Early church Christians defended the resurrection with five evidences. First, testimony. So you have here, they write about the testimony of the Lord Jesus, right? He says, Here are the scars in my hands. Touch my side, right? And you have, he's examined and he's cross-examined. There's obviously the disciples who believe in him, you know, his followers, and they see it and they, you know, they touch the nails and feel the scar on his side. But then there's Thomas. Thomas is like, I don't believe this. Let me cross-examine. Let me see if you're real. And he touches, this is in the book of John, he touches Jesus' hands and touches his side to see the scar, to see that it's really Jesus. There's circumstantial evidence, right? There's an empty tomb. And I went and I saw the empty tomb. I went to Jerusalem and I went in there and I looked at it. And it is, in fact, empty. Now, look, it's a lot of different things could happen to the bones, right? But we do have like Ahenoteps, you know, the Pharaoh's bones, and we've got St. Augustine's bones. We have bones of famous people, right? Thousands of years after they lived, but we do not have the Lord Jesus. And you tell me who was more influential, right? Pharaoh, I can't say any of these guys' names, Amenhotep. Or the Lord Jesus, right? The Lord Jesus is the most influential person that's ever lived, and we don't have his bones. There's the empty tomb. Then there's the eyewitness testimony. Here we have the Marys. You'll see the Marys there. I looked this up to make sure that I did this grammatically correct.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
As Christians, we should probably ask some of the same questions that the early church asked, that the disciples asked while Jesus was living,
that the Jewish nation asked before Messiah came and while he was here on earth. And those questions are questions of confusion. Like, what's going on? Why are we here? You know, if there's a good God, a holy, righteous, and loving God, then it seems to be that we're on this earth with a great deal of suffering and pain, and it seems like the bad guys win. It seems like the people that are hell-bent on creating suffering are the ones that end up always being the ones in charge. And the people that choose to live like Jesus, embrace God's precepts, loving God and loving neighbor, those are the ones that end up suffering. And in Luke 24, Jesus, he repeats a phrase three times, and we'll look at it. And it's, he says, well, the angel and then Jesus two more times. These things must happen. Must. It's the same Greek word three different times, but it's translated differently depending on the translation. But you might have noticed it. And so we're going to look at, first off, the reality of the resurrection. It's really important. It's the defense of our faith. Paul said, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then we are the most miserable among all people. Okay, we're living a pointless life. We're embracing a way of suffering. We're embracing a life of advocacy for others and not of self and selfishness. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then that's really pointless. You ought to be selfish. And we'll look at what is the point now. If Jesus did rise from the dead, then what now? Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life and testimony of the Lord Jesus and those who followed him, making sure that these things were written down for us to learn from. They taught to one another and loved one another and the world around them, and it changed the world. And it created this a beautiful community, a movement that would impact people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And we thank you for that. Father, we ask that that your Holy Spirit would teach this morning, and I wouldn't be the teacher. We ask that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and illuminate the words of your scripture. We ask that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can go out and love and serve one another and the world around us. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So this is really going to come to us in three separate sections. I'm going to reread the first 12 verses here. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men.'" There's that phrase, "It is necessary." Or it must happen that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them. And they did not believe the women. That's never happened ever again in the history of mankind. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes. So he went away amazed at what had happened. The This is our main argument for our faith right here. And there's the four different gospels, and in each one they tell the story slightly differently. Now, a skeptic would look at this and say, well, that means that it's not true, because in this story there's a couple of angels, in this story there's a couple of men, in this story there's Jesus, and they point out the different ways the story is told. And my answer to that, we looked at this earlier in the book of Luke, is that if every single person in this room is asked what happened this morning here at the gathering place, you're all going to tell the story differently, right? Some of you are going to include details that are important to you, and those details are going to be different, right? So the story is going to be different. But also, it's important to understand that Luke, at the beginning of his gospel, he says, I went back, I interviewed, he says, most excellent Theophilus. There's this character, Theophilus. I'm not really sure who he is, but it could possibly be that he is a Roman magistrate. And Luke is preparing the book of Luke and Acts to prepare to show the Roman government that Christianity is rooted in the Hebrew scriptures. And so that is a legal religion. And so it's they're allowed to practice. It could possibly be that Luke is presenting it for these reasons. So he has all these interviews. He says, hey, I went back, I interviewed people, I looked at other documents, and I wrote this accurate account of the Gospels. Now, here's what this means. Is that he had access to the book of Mark. We know this, that Luke would have read the book of Mark, which was written down before Luke. Possibly even he read Matthew as well. There's also, we've mentioned this a few different times, something called that scholars talk about this Q source, which was an earlier document that the early Christians would have possibly read. Maybe it was a journal of one of the disciples, we're not sure. But here, Luke knows what the other gospel writers wrote about the resurrection of Jesus, and he writes this version, okay? So what this tells me is apparently Luke didn't have a problem with this, right? And not only that, but also 200 years later, when the church is deciding on which books to say these are the books that are scripture, they're going to put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John alongside each other as the books that tell the life of Jesus. And so